In the name of Jesus, amen. The count is full. Two outs. Bottom of the 11th. Tie score. The pitcher looks and cocks and throws. The ball screams toward home plate at 90-plus miles per hour. The batter starts to swing and then holds up as the ball slides down and out of the strike zone. The catcher appeals to the first base umpire. Did he go around? Strike! The batter's out. In spite of the fact that numerous slow-motion replays demonstrate beyond a shadow of a doubt that he didn't go around, he didn't really swing, he shouldn't really be out. All the fans agree. Millions of people who saw it on TV know the ump blew it. He made a bad call. The ump just didn't get it right. Not so with God. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and thy judgments are right. God is righteous. He is simply and entirely right. And whatever God says is right. It's true. That should, I suppose, be obvious to all of us. Beyond any dispute, God tells no lies. All his judgments are true. That's very important. You need to be sure of that, sure that you can depend on the absolute truthfulness of God, of everything that God says. God himself is righteous, holy, perfect, truth itself, and what he says is always utterly, eternally right. What God says is more accurate, more reliable, more trustworthy than any human statement or assertion. Let God be true, though every man a liar. God's true word stands against every claim of human wisdom, stands against the assured results of scientific research, stands against every attempt to pass judgment over that divine word. God is righteous, and what he says is right. That means that what he says about you must be right as well. His righteousness is everlasting and his law is true. God doesn't lie. It's that simple. God doesn't call good evil and he doesn't call evil good. So when his law calls you a sinner, you can be sure he's nailed you. And when he calls you righteous, well, that can't be a lie either, can it? God isn't kidding when he looks at you and declares you not guilty. Unlike every human judge and umpire, God never makes a bad call. So his verdict must be accurate, right? Exactly. 451 years ago, October 17th, 1552, a heated controversy among Lutherans was brought to a rather abrupt end in the way that such controversies are sometimes ended. The central figure in the controversy died. Andreas Osiander had been an early ally of Luther. He helped introduce the Reformation in Nuremberg when he was a pastor there. After Luther's death, he was forced to leave Nuremberg and was appointed to teach theology at the new university in Königsberg. Osiander ran into controversy when he started teaching about the righteousness of God in a way that turned the gospel on its head. God is righteous, argued Osiander, citing Bible verses much like the verses of our text. And since God himself is righteous, then what he says can be nothing but the perfect, absolute truth. And that means that when God pronounces human beings to be righteous, it must be because God knows they really are. God makes no bad calls. Osiander didn't teach that we make ourselves righteous by our works. He wanted to be a Lutheran. Instead, he taught that God planted his own divine righteousness in us so that he could then look at us and accurately describe us as righteous, as right. God is not so unrighteous, wrote Osiander, nor does he love unrighteousness so much that he would call someone righteous who didn't really have that divine righteousness in him. In our contemporary jargon, I suppose, Osiander said that God calls us righteous because we have Jesus in our heart. Osiander wasn't wrong about everything. God does call us righteous. And we do have Jesus, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, living in our hearts by faith. His mistake was thinking that what God says is always and only a divinely accurate description of how things are. The righteous God, he figured, can't call us righteous unless we really are. That to do so would just be a bad call, all too possible for human umpires and judges, but unthinkable for the righteous God. After all, righteous art thou, O Lord, your judgments are true. Osiander's kind of gospel may sound like the real thing as long as you're pretty sure that God's righteousness is planted somewhere in your heart. But it evaporates as soon as there's any doubt about that condition. When you are hounded by your failures and your shortcomings and your guilt, you need something better than a God who is always right. When you're pretty sure that no real Christian with Christ in his heart would do the things you did and think the things you thought, the last thing you need from God is a divinely accurate description of who you are and what you are. That is clear enough. What you really need is a new reality, not a perfect description of the old one. What you need and what you get is the God who is righteous by remembering and repeating his promises. He calls you holy, bespeaks you righteous, not because he doesn't know or just made a bad call, but because he recreates you as his new creature in Christ. He summons out of your darkness light. He breathes life into your sorry carcass. How can God, a God who is always right, call sinners righteous? By speaking your sins onto his Son and nailing them to the cross. By speaking unto you his promises of forgiveness and salvation and life. When he says you are righteous and holy for Christ's sake, it's not a legal fiction. It's not divine wishful thinking. It's God being righteous as only God can be, remembering his promises and making a new reality. No bad calls with our righteous God, but very, very good news for sinners. Amen.